Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. I'm your host, Danang, and this is my co-host, Crystal.
Hi!
On today's episode, I wanted to start off with a clip.
You are too concerned with what was and what will be. There's a saying, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present.
Yeah, so that clip is from Kung Fu Panda. What he says there actually has a lot to do with our every day-to-day thing. You know, like, you think about it, it goes into relationships. Goes into your careers. Goes into your personal friendships. These are things that matter on a day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole saying of yesterday was history. Tomorrow is a mystery and today is the present. To think of today as a gift, that is why it's called the present. I don't think many people do think of, like, waking up as a gift in its own.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when I heard it, I thought of how what he said was so true is because we take the current moment for granted and then we just don't realize how lucky we are, you know? Yeah. They always say to, you know, like, look forward to the future, plan ahead. But at the same time, the present is also important. The present is there so that you are in the moment and you can enjoy it with the people around you, the people who care about you and love you. So I feel like it's very important. But, you know, the hustle culture, you know, and how everything is, we forget about it.
Yeah. You know how social media and everything is, it's always about planning for a future. Mm. It's always about looking better yesterday and looking better tomorrow. When it comes to today, it's one of those things that fly by your head all the time. People wake up and it's like, okay, what am I going to do today, tomorrow, and the day after? You know, that's great. It's great to have those days. Mm-hmm. It's great to plan, but do not forget to live in the moment. Do not forget to indulge yourself in the moment that we are in. You know, many great things happen. This is where friendships are made. This is where, you know, some people, you're gonna meet great people.
Mm-hmm. Or like time with your family. You know, like in my case, you know, when my dad passed away, I didn't realize how much like being there in the moment mattered so much. And then when I look back on it now, I feel kind of sad because, you know, there are things that I felt like, oh, you know, I could have done better. You know, I could have enjoyed, you know, and be there, like be present.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, being, you know, whatever I was doing. But it also taught me to now enjoy it, you know, with the people around me.
Yeah. And I want to say this too, right, is we're not perfect. We ourselves are victims to everything that we talk about on this podcast, and everything that we bring up is not because we are saying that we are perfect. We are saying because we ourselves have gone through the trials and the tribulations within our personal life, within our relationships, within every aspect of our life that has gone wrong. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I wish there would have been someone like us to sit there with us and tell us these things so that we were more aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, it's this whole thing of, if you truly think about it, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why they call it the present. If you were to look at it that way, instead of looking at a relationship, so now let's talk about this in a relationship form. Everyone has their ideal type. Mm-hmm. So you push this perception of your ideal type. And then you're constantly looking for someone that fits that ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's wrong, is you're looking for a tomorrow. You're looking for this man. But you're so focused that you don't see what's there. The pool is big. How many people live in your city? How many good people exist? This goes for everyone, you know? Like, I always say to people, whatever your ideal type is, and this doesn't go for all people, I'm just saying this is like a 50-50 kind of thing, where whatever your ideal is, it will never truly hit point to point what that person is going to be.
That's true. That's very true.
Love, you know, I saw this clip the other day, and it was about this guy who said, who was talking about love, and he says to another guy, "Do you love your wife?" He goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Why do you love your wife?" And you sit there and you just kind of just think about it. And he goes, "You love your wife because you worked on loving your wife. You didn't just fall in love with your wife." Mm-hmm. There were moments where you woke up every day and you said good morning. You had your day and you ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner together every day. These are things that make you fall in love with someone. Love is worked on. Love is progressed every day. You fall out of love when something within those parameters break. Mm-hmm. When there is no longer communication between the both of you anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, this goes for those that are looking for love, is if you are looking for love and it is not progressing, and it becomes like a pattern, then you have to think to yourself, you have to ask yourself, what's wrong?
That's true.
Because now, you know, like there are men and women out there that they look at their ideal type. Oh, I want a 5'7", 5'6" woman, very slim, and I want her to be smart, but I want her to be outgoing, and I want her to do this, and I want her to do. Okay, the moment you start narrowing things down, your pool of 100% of women within that city becomes like 15%, 10%. Mm-hmm. There are great women out there that may not fit that pool.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you know, it's good, you know what you want, like in a person, you mm-hmm. know, but when you start being so nitpicky about, you know, certain personalities, certain traits, you're closing yourself off to the other beautiful possibilities of people you're going to meet.
Yeah.
You know, like for us, don't get me wrong. Okay. Like you are far from my type. Okay. But if anything, I realized that, yes, I have I had a type, but it didn't matter because I ended up with someone who was willing to stick by me through everything, who loves me so much, you know, and
love is like a vine.
Yeah, that's true. Okay? It grows. It grows over time.
It grows, but it also molds into whatever is around it.
That's true.
So if it's on, let's say, if a vine grows on a house, it grows up the wall and it stays attached to that wall and it molds around that wall. If there's a fence, it molds around the fence, intertwines in and out of that fence. Mm-hmm. But that's what love is the progression of love makes a person some way.
Mm-hmm. Love isn't about, you know, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You one should never expect love to be perfect, because if it's perfect, something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to want to, you know, to put it simply, you're going to want to kill each other, you know, like you're going to want to, you know, be away from them. You're going to not want to be in the same room, not talk to them. But at the same time, when you're away from them, you realize you're going to realize how lonely you are sometimes.
When it comes to love and relationships, what people don't understand is that people mold into whatever their atmosphere is. So let's say, for example, you like a woman that's athletic. Yeah, you know, the woman that you meet, she might have every personality check or everything on that book, but she might not have athleticism. But being around someone that's athletic, it will start to mold her to be athletic because you're athletic. Because when you go out, she wants to go out with you. When you go hiking, she wants to go hiking with you. When you go play sports, she wants to play sports with you. These are things that eventually mold into a relationship. Mm-hmm. And you can't disregard the growth that happens in a relationship that grows someone into those or into the person that they will become.
Yeah, but don't get it wrong, okay? That is not about changing the person. This mm-hmm. is molding to it's
a more natural progression.
Exactly. It's not about changing, like, oh, okay, I'm going to be like this for this person, because that's, it's not about change, you know? Like, if there's if there is something that is, you know, like, if you're a jealous person, yes, change that so that you don't become a jealous person, you know? But that's different from molding into something else based on your surroundings, based on how your relationship is progressing. You know, mm-hmm. they're two different things, but people forget that, you know, or they don't understand that.
And that's why love is so hard sometimes. I hear and I see what, like, some people want. It's this whole unrealistic expectation. Men and women are both products of this. Is the unrealistic expectation.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not blaming this, you know, only on just one, you know, gender, you know. Yeah. This is why it's so hard for, like, it's just for me personally, before I met you, it was so hard to be confident in myself, but also to date, you know, because people have these unrealistic expectations of, oh, I want a girl like this. I want her to, like, for example, you know, like, in my high school, there was somebody I knew, and they're like, oh, I want her to be 6 foot, because he was pretty tall. I want her to be 6 foot. You know, she's got to have, you know, beautiful hair. You know, she's got to be really skinny. You know, she's got to be smart, athletic, exactly like what she said. But it's like, oh, okay, you know, you want this. But now, is every other guy going to want this too? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying every single man out there are going to, but it's so hard not to if that's what you're surrounded by.
It becomes, I don't know, it becomes like a chain of expectation, you know? Like,
it's like, it's almost toxic.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is why I say, like, take away expectation and look for growth. You know, it's one of those situations where a man will break up with a woman, or a woman will break up with a man, and, you know, they may not be the fittest, but after the breakup, they work out, they get fit, and then the other person looks at them and is like, wow, I lost that. See, it's one of those moments where it's like, but you could have had that. And the reason why you could have had that is because if you had just made the relationship more than just expectation, more than just about
the physical aspect, if it was that.
Yeah, the physical aspect, or you know, more than just whatever it is.
Yeah.
This kind of growth can happen in a relationship, but are you willing to allow it? Are you willing to push to it?
Mm-hmm. Like, both have to move. It sounds weird, and maybe, you know, like, maybe wrong. Some people might not agree, but it makes two to work. So if you want this person to be like this, you also have to move with them,
yeah,
at the same time, so that they feel motivated and they want to do it too. It's not just a, okay, I want this, I expect this, and then they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and we're not saying that this works for all relationships. We're just saying, from personal experience, what we've seen and what has molded out of our relationship, because I wasn't always like this. She wasn't always like this. This is something that molded out of the relationship because of situation, because of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean that it's also permanent too.
Exactly.
You know, you mold into your situation that you're in at that moment, but doesn't mean you're going to be like this, you know, maybe next year, maybe a couple months from now. Anything can change. You are a different person the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you wake up with different thoughts, you wake up with different feelings, you know, like, it will always change. And if anything, you know, hopefully everybody changes for the better, you know, like, just that, you know, they become the better version of themselves that they want to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, stop focusing on things that you can't focus. Mm-hmm. Bringing it back to the clip. Yesterday is history. It's done. What can we do to change it? This is something that I struggle with every day as well. Even to this day, I still struggle with that aspect of it, is that yesterday is history and we cannot change what has been done. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is a mystery, because we will never know what happens tomorrow. We could plan for a full day, but something is going to come up and it's going to change the flow of the day. And this happens. We can't always prepare for these things. But the one thing that we can prepare is to look at today like it's a gift and appreciate and love what is given to us. Because what is given to us, it is a gift. Mm-hmm. To be able to open your eyes, to be able to say hello to the people that you say hello to be able to say I love you to the people that you say I love you to, this is a gift. Mm-hmm. Not many people can wake up as fortunate as we do. Every day there is suffering in the world. Every day there is some kind of misery in the world.
Mm-hmm. To live is even a gift in itself. You know, there are many people who go through, you know, like struggles every day, and they don't have the will to live. And then if anything, yes, even if it means to wake up the next day. But to live in itself, like that word, is something, because to live means you're going to go about your day in a positive attitude. You're going to do something, you know, rather than seeing it as, oh, okay, it's just another day. It's whatever.
If we were to bring the concept of what the clip is into career-wise, there was supposed to be another clip that we were going to use today. Mm. And I think it totally falls in line with this clip and what we're talking about right now. Is there is a difference between perfection and there is a difference between growth. And today we are growing. We cannot be perfect today. To be perfect today means that there is no growth tomorrow. That means there's nothing tomorrow. It takes decades. It takes 2 decades before someone is a master of what they do. And even then, how many times do you really hear someone, you know, in their line of work for 10 years say, I'm a master of what I do? Not many. Mm-hmm. They humble themselves to a point where it's like, I can learn every day. Because perfection is only a concept. And to be perfect today, it's almost like having a brick house and being like, okay, this is perfect. But tomorrow I want to tear this down and I'm going to rebuild again. And then the next day I'm going to tear it down and then rebuild it again. But the logical thing to do would have been to draw out exactly what you want. You know, the foundation of it, how you want the house to look like. Where is the bathroom located? Where is the kitchen located? This is the smart thing to do, but that takes time. And to appreciate that time is to appreciate today, to appreciate the growth that you make in a day, to appreciate you woke up today, you did this today, you did that today. What else is there that you want to do today? What else is there that you need to do today? To plan for tomorrow is great. Okay, I have a meeting that I need to do for tomorrow. I need to do this, I need to do that. That's perfect. But to put an expectation of perfection inside of you all the time, to say that I'm 28 right now, and by 29, and 29 is only a couple months from now. So by 29, I want to be this rich, I want to be this famous, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to have this. You're setting yourself up for a huge loss.
Mm-hmm. Like setting yourself up for failure without realizing it. It's good that you have, you know, this vision and this dream. But you also have to be, like, realistic. Like, I don't want to be the party pooper, but that's just the reality, is that it's okay to want and to have expectations, but not to set yourself up for failure and be unrealistic with goals that might not be achievable in, like, let's say, for example, you know, in your case, like, a couple months, you know, like, for the example you used. Because you're not going to be able to be super rich in a couple months. You know, it takes... takes many, many years for people to plan a business to even be able to put it into action.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, like, and even to break all that down, right? If I were to talk about this podcast, right? It took me years to get to this point where, okay, I had the equipment, I could do it, I knew what I was doing, and I could do it all on my own without the help of other people. Mm-hmm. But that took years to get to this point. You know, the mic that you're using, that mic I bought 4 years ago, the mic that I have here, we bought it because it came with the kit, you know, the mixer, it came because I understood how to use these things, the audio interface, you know, these take years in the making of understanding, using, and the knowledgeable growth that I had within the years to get me to a point where I could produce a podcast that sounded good, that was of standard to me. And it's okay to have standards. It's okay to have a good amount of standards, because without standards, what are you producing? You'd be producing trash.
That's true. Standards are good, but to be perfect is unrealistic.
Yes.
No one is perfect in life. You know, it's good that you know what you want. It's like you said, it's very good because you have a clear vision of what you want to achieve, and it's like blinders on. Like, you're going to work hard for it. But to want perfection, it's not possible.
To want perfection is to set yourself up, and I don't want to say failures, to set yourself up for losses. And what I mean by losses is the loss of confidence, the loss of yourself, the loss of those that are around you. This is what I mean by losses, is you're setting yourself up for those losses. And I've done that many times. And you know, I've done this so much, even with my own music, where it's like, I make it and I think it's great. And then I let other people judge my music, and what they say is like, oh, you know, it's not that great. And this is why, you know, the confidence that I had when I started making music up to the point where I am today. Today, I'm a lot more confident because I know I'm good at what I do. I'm not the best. I'm not going to ever say I'm the best, but I'm good at what I do. I have people that listen. I have people that love my music. I have people that love my lyrics. I have people that love this. But that's because with music, it allows for me to be in the moment, to enjoy what I'm doing in the second, in the minute, in this very moment that I'm touching what I'm touching, doing what I'm doing. To think about anything else, to think about tomorrow and what music will bring me, will only bring me devastation, because how many other people want to be artists?
That's true.
You know, this is something that I think personally people do too much, is constantly think about the end game. I want to get into this job because at the end of this job, I want to have this job. Or I want this because I want that. And I want that because I want this. You know, it's great to have a plan, but be flexible and learn to be flexible. Learn to understand flexibility.
I mean, for people who want to do or be in the entertainment field, you have to be flexible. It's all about flexibility, because even if you plan for something, things can go wrong so quickly without you realizing it.
Yep.
You know, like, for example, if you're planning an event, it's perfect, you know, leading up to it, you know, you got everything ready, you know, that, like, you've tested everything, it works, but then so some minor things happen and it's done, game over.
Yeah. And this is why, you know, I say to people all the time that want to do music, and the first thing I say to them is, do you understand how many artists exist already and how many are fighting to be an artist? So what's going to make you any different? That's what today is about, is what are you today? Mm-hmm. Many people walk up to me and say, you know, I want to do this with my music. Okay, great. You want to do this, but can you do it already? Are you at a point where you can do it? Are you at a point where you're comfortable? You're confident? Because if you're not, then work on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what other people have already said. What's been said is said. What's been done is done. But today is what matters. Mm-hmm. Are you the person that you want to be? Are you the confident person? Are you the most skilled writer today? Because if you're not, then work on it. Become that today. It doesn't matter about tomorrow, because tomorrow is only today for us. When you wake up tomorrow, that's today. That's going to be your present. So it wouldn't matter. Just work on today. Work on being the best that you can today. That goes for relationships, your career. you know, I always say, I always pick music because there's some, it's one of, you know, it's one of my favorite hobbies, music. I wake up in the morning and I work on music. And this is something that I've started doing, was waking up and making like a verse a day so that the skill set doesn't fade. Mm-hmm. And just talk about anything, write about anything. This is going to help you with changing how you look at yourself. Mm-hmm. I went from being very unconfident about my skill set to being able to sit there and being like, okay, let me see what I can write about today. What am I feeling? Can I manifest my feelings into words? Can I change it and look at it as an entity so that this way I understand it? Mm-hmm. And this is an exercise that I do to help me today. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have those days where you got to confront certain things.
Yep.
But you got to do it today. To push it off tomorrow is only pushing it off until what? Whenever you're ready. And when's that going to be?
Honestly, one's never ready for anything in life. Even exactly. If, you know, you plan, like, for example, you know, kids, you can be ready. You can say, okay, I'm ready for kids. I'm going to plan for it. Okay, I'm going to be financially ready. Yes, do it. But the reality is, you're never going to be ready. You're never going to be emotionally ready, mentally, you know, physically, financially. These are things that you can talk about planning, but when it happens, it's like a truck hitting you. You're not expecting it. You didn't realize it was going to happen. And yeah. Then it happens.
Yeah. You know, like, if we were to think about it, you know, I'd always been someone to talk about kids, about wanting kids. But when the opportunity came, when your sister was born, and I got that opportunity to become someone else, to become another version of me that I didn't know that was there, it taught me so much because I was living in the moment. I learned to live in the moment. I no longer worried about, okay, what if I had kids? What if I wanted this? What if I had this and wanted that? In the moment, I was already living there. I was already enjoying moments with your baby sister. And these were things that made me start to realize that this is what I missed out on, was living in the moment when I had it. You know, my early 20s and my late teens, I missed out because I forgot to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. I was so focused on tomorrow. I was so focused on wanting to achieve something that I never got to enjoy the small successes that were there. Mm-hmm. That's why whenever people come to me now, when Katrina came to us, to finally see her release a first single after a year, those are small successes. And then to release a second single is a success to me, because not many people look at those things as if it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. But to me it is, because you worked so hard for that one moment. And if we were to blow over it, then, you know, you're not appreciating the hard work that came with that one moment. Mm-hmm. Following your dream is not about the end product. It is about every day leading up to that end product. Mm-hmm. The struggle, the reality, the lessons, the journey. This is something that you have to take into consideration. All of this, with every bad thing that happens comes a lesson. And with every lesson comes a part of a new journey. With every journey comes a part of a new you. We as humans are meant to be molded. We are meant to become a new person. But are you willing to accept that new person today? Or how far do you need to push it tomorrow before you accept that person? Holding on to the past doesn't do someone any good.
Mm-hmm. You can think about the past in a way where it should help guide you to not make those same mistakes again. That's why they're called mistakes too.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that you've done to lead up to that moment and you realize, okay, I'm not going to do it again. The past is helpful and to help remind you that, you know, of how you got to where you are.
Yeah.
But don't think of it all the time because what's done is done. Yeah. You know, think about the moment that you have right now.
The very moment that we live in right now, can we appreciate that? The moment that you're listening to this podcast, this very part, what are you doing? Can you appreciate it? It's the small things, like, are you cleaning your house? Because the fact that you can even clean a house, you should appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Are you walking? Appreciate the fact that you can walk. There are people out there that can't. These are things that we should appreciate. We don't get time to appreciate these things because we're not meant to appreciate these things. Society has it that we should appreciate the bigger things. You know, there was this clip that I saw, and it was, I think, it was from the Genius Brain podcast with David So.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how when he hit, like, I think it was like 1 million subscribers, it felt like nothing to him. But there's this YouTuber that he knew that lived up to that moment where they counted every subscriber until they hit that 1 million subscriber and celebrated. But then it's like David said, was, what next? Yeah, to live in the moment and celebrate 1 million is great. Yeah. But to make that your destination goal every day, 1 million.
Some people will be like, okay, like, what else now? Well, what's my purpose? Like, I've achieved what I wanted to, you know, like, I've lived, you know, even if it means, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years for that moment, what's next?
Yeah.
And it's great, you know, it's like we said, don't celebrate it because not every day do people reach 1 million. Reaching 1 million, that's 1 million people that are dedicated to your work, to your channel, or to whatever it is you're doing. But it shouldn't just be like the end goal, you know? Like,
and I say this too, right, is it shouldn't be an end goal because once you reach that end goal, there's going to be this feeling of emptiness afterwards. Right after, because you've hit it. So now what? You know, this was me in my early teens. Early teens to early 20s I had a set goal. And I said to myself, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do this. And every time I hit it, I had a greed for more. Because what I wanted to achieve was something that, number one, was materialistic, and number two, just was nothing. Mm-hmm. But it was after, you know, it was after looking at myself and changing myself where I said to myself, you know, I want to give back to the people and give back to these people properly. You know, being able to see Katrina release one or two singles and then, you know, her saying to us, you know, it's time for me to move on and go be a teacher. That's great. That's what we are here for. It's not to make you an artist, but to follow your dream so that you can find the path to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is life, is your hobbies, you might think, is where you want to go. But eventually you're going to get to a crossroads where, do you want to follow your hobbies forever? Or do you want to do something else?
That's true.
And my job is only to lead you to that crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
To guide you to that very moment in that crossroad where it's like,
where do I go? Left or right? And you know what? If anybody who joins the company later on, if you decide not to continue, we're not going to be angry. You know, if anything, we're going to be happy because we help lead you to that moment you realize you want to continue with us or not. You know, like, at the end of the day, we're still going to be a family. We're still going to keep in touch. It's not like we're just going to, you know, like, cut communication and be like, okay, bye, you know?
You know, this is something that...
It's like you said, it's life.
It is life. And I think that's what some people forget, is what is life? People are so indulged in a bigger tomorrow every day that they forget what about today. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why one of the things that I love the most about my job and what I do is I get to live in the moment with the people that I have. And the moments that I remember most about these people are the moments where we would gather at a studio and just chill and talk and laugh. Because those are the moments that mattered the most. Mental health is something that I advocate a lot for. But if we worry about mental health tomorrow, are we really doing anything about it today? And this is my way of fighting it today, is allowing for these people to talk to people that are in similar situations.
Mm-hmm. Like, talk about the, like, so-called taboo topics. Like, for, you know, personally for me, you know, talking about it growing up in my house was so taboo. Like, we wouldn't talk about it. And if we did, it was like we were undermined and being told that it wasn't. So being able to talk about mental health with younger generations, and now more than ever, it's like you say, it's a huge thing, you know. Everybody talks about it. It's amazing how we are able to do that.
Yes, but it's also, you know, and I want to say this too, right, is never use mental health as a crutch.
Oh, no.
Never, ever use mental health as a crutch. Use it as a means to be better, to learn, and to enjoy the journey that you take to become a better person. But never use it as a crutch and have people sympathize for you. Mm-hmm. Mental illness is not a way for you to gain sympathy. Mental illness is only a way for you to break down your thoughts, break it all down to a point where you can understand every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those moments where it's like, if I know someone has depression and I've told them they have depression, and then they go and they don't know why they have depression, and they continue to fight this feeling of, I don't have it, I don't have it, I don't have it. Yeah. And then when they can realize, I do have it. It's one of those moments where it's like, I'm not going to say I told you so. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to tell you is, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, this is why I do what I do, is we fight this by doing what we do best. Let it be podcasting, let it be making music, let it be writing music, let it be dancing. This is the way you combat certain things, by expressing it in a way that we as humans may not understand how to express. Mm-hmm. You know, I've written how much songs about my depression and my this and my that, but I've now learned to articulate it to a way where it's a little more beautiful, a little more poetic, so that this way when I look at it, it's not such a mean monster all the time. It's not this and that anymore. It's when people look at pain, what is it to you, right? Because when you look at it, it's something that hurts you, it's something that angers you. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have resentment for.
Yep.
But being able to write music has allowed for me to articulate pain into something that I could understand.
Mm-hmm. It ends up being much bigger than you thought it would be.
Yeah, it is. Like, to me, it's a lot bigger now because, you know, I'm in the process of writing a song called Pain, but this song is about how maybe pain is an entity created by our human greed. Mm-hmm. What if it were just like you and I? It's a being, but we created it.
Yep.
Because we were selfish. This person said no when I wanted it to be yes. So now I'm hurt. And because I'm hurt, I've created this entity. And this entity is always depressed, is always sad, because that's all I ever am. That's all we ever are when we don't get what we want, when we don't get what we see.
Yep.
And it's allowed for me to look at pain in a different way. And I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to articulate my words, being able to enjoy what I've written today instead of worrying about pain tomorrow. What pain am I going to be in tomorrow? Mm-hmm. But now being able to look at myself and being able to cope with yesterday. You know, yesterday is history, but now today I'm able to cope with it because I found a way to cope with it by living in the moment, by looking at it today instead of looking at it yesterday, instead of looking at the actual problem. I'm able to look at what it is today. Mm-hmm. And this is what, you know, I think some people kind of need is a perspective of how to look at things. I know the people that listen to this podcast are people that have troubles in their life and need a way out or are dealing with something and need a perspective. But these are also people that when they're down at their lowest, probably go to YouTube and look up motivational videos. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all you need is that jump of perspective. You hear it from Will Smith, or you hear it from, you know, David Goggins, and you hear from their perspective what it's like, and you think, damn, if they can do it, I can.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
This is why, like, my perspective of celebrities is different now. I look at celebrities as if they are just human beings. There's nothing special to them anymore. I always say to you is like, honestly, I don't know if I would be able to react to any celebrity that way, because I think the way I look at everyone is like, you're just a human being.
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked about this before too, you know, how like we idolize, you know, these celebrities, you mm-hmm. know, for doing things or being able to achieve certain things. But at the end of the day, if you take all of those achievements, you know, take it away from them, they're still human. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. That's why for you, and you've mentioned it before too, is that you don't idolize, because if you do, then when you see them, you're going to be disappointed. And
I've learned to separate the product from the person.
Yes.
Because the product is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Justin Bieber's music, but, you know, his songs like he did with Shawn Mendes, Monster.
Yes.
That make you look at it and now you think of them as human beings, where it's like they fucked up like we did.
Mm-hmm. Or Lonely.
Yeah. And you look at those songs and you're like, they fucked up just like we did. Mm-hmm. We are just as fucked up as they are, and they are just as fucked up as we are.
Mm-hmm. If anything, we might fuck up more than they do. It's just they have a bigger platform, they got like a higher status than we do, and they got so many media like outlets going after them, you know, for any kind of, you know, story. So it's blown way out of proportion sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, like now I'm able to look at celebrities in a different light, where it's like they've worked hard to achieve the circle that they've achieved. Okay, this circle that they've achieved, you know, there's a saying as you grow, the people that grew with you may not have grown. So they stay down lower and you go up higher. Mm-hmm. And the natural loss is there. Yes, you will naturally lose people. But these people like Shawn Mendes, these people like Justin Bieber, they've grown to a level where people like us, we can't relate. We're never going to be able to relate. We don't have stardom at the age of what? 14, 15.
Yep.
We don't have money thrown at us the way they do. If you listen to the way they speak about money, money is a monster. But now you listen to these kids nowadays and it's like, I want money for this. I want money for a Lambo. I want money for that. Mm-hmm. It's two very different perspectives. We sit on different levels. They are human beings that have worked hard to achieve what they have achieved.
Mm-hmm. You know, money is great, you know, like it's able to, you know, help you with realistic things, you know, for me, I see as money is great in a sense where, you know, you can pay for your bills, you know, put a roof over a head, you know, put food on our table. But if you're in the wrong mindset, it really is a monster, because you're gonna want certain things that you can't have at this moment. So you're gonna work hard, however way, to get that money. And when you get it, you're gonna crave more. You're gonna crave more. And if anything, bit by bit, you're gonna lose yourself. And you're gonna be so lost in that mindset. It's like, when you reach that moment of realization that you fucked up, you're gonna look at it and you're gonna be like, oh man, like, was I really like that?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I always look at life as an analogy, right? If we were a block of ice and a sculptor is picking at us, yeah, the more we learn about life, we're going to get sculpted and we're going to start losing a lot. We'll lose a lot of who we are. Mm-hmm. And we don't see what we're becoming until the very end, when the ice sculptor is done and he steps away and he looks at this ice sculpture. And how beautiful it looks. We just don't see how beautiful it is because we were the ones being sculpted. We lost big portions of this, big portions of that. We may not have certain aspects of our life anymore, but we don't see how beautiful we are yet. Not yet. Not the way the sculptor does. And this is just how I've looked at life, is every day we're being sculpted. And we feel like we're losing a lot. And we feel like we're depressed about it because, yeah, the chunks that we're losing is huge. You're losing, well, let's say you're losing your friends, you lose your family, you lose your career, you lose this and you lose that. But at the end of the day, when the sculptor looks back on what he's sculpted, how beautiful it is, we just don't see how beautiful it is. We don't see how beautiful we've become being sculpted into something.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You know, and I say this because I think people need to see a perspective of how they look like. Mm-hmm. I look at people and, you know, I've had many people say to me, isn't it, how are you able to do this and still be okay when artists walk away from you? And I say to them, is because they are the ice sculptures. They are the sculptor, but they are sculpting themselves.
Mm-hmm. If anything, when you sign a new artist, you don't have expectations, like these expectations of you're going to stay with me for the rest of your life, yeah. or for the rest of your career. Like, you never have that expectations. You tell me all the time, oh, you know, if anything. Like, that's why your contracts aren't, like, you know, 5-10 years, you know? Like, they're smaller compared to, you know...
No, they're, big. Like, one year, and then after that, I sign another 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, it's like you said, I don't expect them to stay with me for their entire career. I'm just here to put down the stones and help them.
Yeah. And, you know, if at the end they do say, hey, I want to stay with you, then great. Great. I've molded something great. Mm-hmm. Or they molded something great. But this has to come naturally.
Yep.
Each person is going to sculpt their way. But how are you going to sculpt yours? All I want to do is give you the tools so that you know how. So that you see the realistic views of what lays behind what you want to do. People have a very unrealistic view. And this is something that I had when I had my first record deal. Was the unrealistic view of it. And I didn't see it because no one showed me it. So when I walked away and I had the opportunity to build everything that I have, I sat there and I told myself, I needed to teach people. I want to teach people that at the end of the day, you know, there's this talk about follow your dreams until the end. But there are people that, like, you go to school and you're going to school for, like, psychology, you're going to school for being a teacher, you're going to school for this and you're going to school for that, and there's a confliction now between, do I want to be an artist, do I want to be a dancer, or do I want to do this? Mm-hmm. My honest and dead honest, like, feelings towards it is, pick the latter. You went to school for something. You can always do your hobby behind all that. if your hobby becomes something that, hey, it's making you a lot of money, it's making you happy, then great. But 90% of the time, the reason why you're even in such a program is because you love it as well. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you picked it. You wanted to help kids. You wanted to help people. So why are you having a conflicting, this is, you know, like, the,
you know, it's something that, like, I think, resonate with this because I love, I have, like, a love-hate relationship with baking, but I love it just as much as I hate it, and, but I'm going to school for interior decorating. So it's like, in school, though, is that they make it so obvious. They don't preach it to you, but they make it very obvious is that you're going to school for one thing. Your grades, your courses that you take, that you pick in grade 11 and 12 will take you to where you're going to be doing, you know, to university. But because you've spent so much money in school, it feels like you're stuck doing this job for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's like signing a death contract and like, that's it. That's that. Mm-hmm. You're with this for life. So when you talk about it, I feel it because that's what, like, going to school was like for me, you know,
because the way society has molded school to be is this evil demon where it's like, if you go to school and you're wasting time from doing certain things, you're a dumbass if you just don't do those things while you're in school. I'm just saying, like, how much time do you not have? 90% of the time you do have time, you're just wasting it away because you don't want to have time. Mm-hmm. How much time do you have? You're going to party. You're going to freaking drink. You're, you know,
socializing. Socializing. Stuffing.
That's your own problem. Those things are your own problem. Mm-hmm. But the time that you go to school is for you to realize what you want to do with your life. Half the time I talk to these kids and they pick something, like they go to school for something. Let's say psychology, behavioral science. The reason why you picked it is because there's a means behind why you picked it. Mm-hmm. You wanted to help someone. You wanted to help people. Okay. So why are you already contemplating? Because people are telling you to contemplate? This is where I want to say is, this is where social media becomes very toxic. This whole culture of give up on school and go do what you want to do with your life becomes very toxic, because what people don't tell you is, how many dancers actually become professional? How many make enough money to live off and come home to their wife and their husband or their kids and be like, I made money and I'm successful? Not many people. That's the honest truth of it. Not many people.
That's true. There's a lot of, like, I get all the time on my Instagram feed, like, you know, social media influencers or people who dedicate their career to, you know, helping grow social media presence. And I know so many people like that. Don't get me wrong, I ain't dogging on it. You do what you want to do. But I see so many people doing that.
Yes.
And I'm like,
this is something that, you know, like, I've wanted to talk about for a long time is, when you pick something to go to school for, if you're going to school for something that your mom and your dad picked, hey, at that point, it is a contemplation between, do you just do it to finish it and then do what you want to do after? Because, hey, most of the time, that's what we do. It's just, you go to school, you finish it, and then you go do what you want after. Mm-hmm. But the other half of that is, you decided to go to it because you found some kind of love for it. There's a means for why you wanted to do it. Business, because you wanted to own a business, you know, like, it goes for the new, like, kids, these kids that, oh, I want to become a baker, but my mom and my dad want me to go to business school. So why can't you just go to business school, learn about the business side of baking, and then on your free time just go bake? You're killing two birds with one stone right there. Now when you finish it, not only are you a great baker, but you have the business knowledge of how to build a business for your bakery. But these are things that kids do not look at and do not see for themselves, because society tells them, you need to solely focus on becoming the best baker in the world. But 90% of these best bakers in the world, they're great bakers, amazing bakers. But they fail in business because they don't know what the hell they're doing. It's the same thing with becoming a music artist. It's how many people rap? How many people sing? How many people are unique?
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you still got to go work because you can't afford the mic. You can't afford the audio interface. You can't afford the studio time. So you're waiting on what? You're waiting on a single to pop you off? How many people in Toronto are doing the same thing? How many people are little thugs, you know, young, whatever? How many? There's so many.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between you and them? The difference between me and them is that I'm just like them, but I know how all my equipment works. So I don't need to spend money to go and do that.
Mm-hmm. So whatever money you are making, you're making it for yourself. You're not reinvesting it back into,
exactly.
You know, like studio time or having like an engineer come and, you know, like do their thing.
Exactly. These are things that you learn on your own. YouTube is a platform that can be used for great or can be used for fucking around. And how many people use it for fucking around? I'm one of those people that if I don't know how to work something, I go to YouTube and as I'm doing it, I'll learn about it. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way I learn.
Yep.
But how many people are doing that? How many people want to become a business person or an entrepreneur, but go on YouTube and they listen to all these entrepreneur videos and then all of a sudden they're talking about, yeah, don't work a 9-to-5. But they know nothing about entrepreneurship. They know nothing about money. They know nothing about anything.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the word entrepreneur is now like being tossed around. And it's like I said, okay, you call whatever you want. But the entrepreneurship, the word is now being used so loosely. And it's like, but do you know what it takes to build a business? Do you know how much you're going to lose in the first 5 years? Like, without a doubt, that's what I learned in business school. My professor drilled that into us every single day we had class. Was that you're going to lose. Yeah. And it's not a crime. Don't feel hard on yourself. It's just you need to be able to find your niche and, you know, like, go into that market, you know, and promoting yourself in a way where you're very individualistic. You know, have to be different.
I'll even say this is... to all the girls that are like doing OnlyFans, right? How long before you look like an ugly turd? it's the honest truth. This, how many other people are on OnlyFans?
Yeah.
How many people are showing off their tits and their ass that you're like, someone's paying for you? Mm-hmm. The honest truth is, yeah, you're making millions, you're making thousands now. But trust me, someone that just turned 18 is also going to do it.
Yep.
Someone younger, someone perkier, someone's going to pay for that.
Someone who...
You're fresh out of that line now.
Mm-hmm. It's like someone with a better package. It's like going on vacation, okay? Two people are giving you a package. Which one are you going to go better? The one that came to you first or the better one that came with a fresher aspect
of
things?
And this is something like... this is why I respect... a lot of, for example, I respect some of these basketball players because they go in and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be the best basketball player. So not only are they the best basketball players, but now they go and they start investing in certain things. Property, they start businesses, they start this and they start that. And then when they finish their basketball career, they're not like everyone else that finishes and they're like, I don't have any more money. They're not like that because they were smart and they were like, you know what? I have the money now. I'm working anyway, so I might as well invest that money. And they do it. And so when they finish it, they got passive income. They got all this that's working for them.
Yep.
You know, this is why I respect artists, music artists that invest in other things. You know, like Jaden Smith. Yes. Yo, I love that kid, right? Because, yo, as much as, like, he's a little weird, this kid's smart. This kid's smart. You invest in other things, because when you're not making music, then you're doing other things anyway.
Mm-hmm. He's got quite a lot of things going on for him. Not like he's not only doing movies, you know, not only doing music. There are small things that he's doing, and he's not talking about it yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And this is how life works. Is when you have something, investing in other things, but school doesn't teach you that. The people around you don't teach you that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, if you wanted to flip that, then look at your life as if you were them, working a 9-to-5, and then taking it. You already know you're working 9-to-5. So the paychecks come, you can at least spare 25% of that and invest it into something else.
Yep.
And then sooner or later, hey, that 9-to-5 becomes a 9-to-1. Mm-hmm. And then a 9-to-12. And then a 9-to-11. And then nothing at all. But this is the way you got to look at life. Because, you know, I heard something the other day, and they said, if the average human lives up to 100 years old, how are we expected to know what we want to do at 18? How are you even expected to know what you want to do at 30? 30 to 100 is still a long way.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's a long way.
But like, we feel rushed, you know? Like,
you feel rushed because of how society has made it, how everyone around has made it, because that's what everyone was taught, was that, you know, especially Asian parents is, yo, by the time you're 20, you're already old. So why aren't you dating?
Yep.
By the time you're 25, why aren't you married? Because at 30, you should have me, couple grandkids.
That's so true. You know, like I have two acquaintances, like, both of them are my friends. I have one friend, you know, who saw that, you know, I was married, you know, and not just living on my own. And she's like, oh man, like everyone around me is engaged and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but you're still young. Who the hell cares? And then my other friend, you know, she's like, oh, you know, like, I hope to, you know, like, have a boyfriend and, you know, get married, you know, like, hopefully right after if things go well. And then, you know, have kids, you know, because, you know, 20 is when, you know, we're in our prime to have kids. But it's like, yeah, that's true. But the way she worded it was like, oh, I feel rushed to do things. But it's like, you have a long time. Like, you have a long time until you reach 30. And if anything, just enjoy your life. Don't feel rushed. Like, I don't know why. Like, I do, but I also struggle to understand sometimes why people feel so rushed to try to achieve so many things when, you know, like they have a long time ahead of them.
And I feel that, right? I also understand why people feel rushed, because I'm in that boat where for a long time I feel rushed. Mm-hmm. Because our parents have taught you to be rushed.
Yep, that's true.
Society has taught you to be rushed. Society teaches you that every day. How many 18-year-olds to 20-year-olds are posting that they're billionaires, that they've achieved this, that they've achieved that, you know? How many? So you don't think that's going to flip over and be like, oh, you know, I'm 27 and these 18-year-olds are like, they have billions of dollars and I have nothing. I'm working at Starbucks. But I also want to say is that they're the very rare occasion that within that bracket are doing that.
It's like a race. It's like a race you got to finish first, regardless. Like, I was reading... I saw this news article on my phone, and this girl who 14 finished high school. By the time she's 16 right now, she graduated university, and she says she hopes to achieve her PhD by 22. You know, there are, like, for example, if my mom saw that, she would be like, okay, why can't you, you know, get things done faster? How come you can't do this and this and this? So, you know, I get why there's a need to feel rushed, you know, especially because as Asians, we come from that household where, you know, to them, everything is a timeline. Yeah. You got to finish school at this time. Okay, now you got to get married. Now you got to go work. You got to do this, do that. But there's that side of me that's like, we're still young. Like, there's still things that we want to achieve and do before we go and, you know, we settle down and we have kids, you know. And it's like I say, even if we have kids, not that we can't do it, but I'm in that mindset where if I have kids, I want to concentrate on my kids and help give them like a life, you know, a better life, one that, you know, that will be memorable for them.
Yeah. You know, and like everyone goes through this. Everyone's going to have these, especially like immigrants, because immigrants, our parents are at a point where they didn't get what we had. Mm-hmm. And that is called opportunity. We have opportunity in this life, but with opportunity also comes time and patience. You need that time and you need that patience for that opportunity to pan out properly. Mm-hmm. If we rush it, then by the time, you know, you're rushing it. Are you really truly engaged with that opportunity and getting the full amount out of it? Mm-hmm. It's going to take time. You're going to be in your late 20s before you figure out what you really want.
That's true.
You know, and I can only talk through my experiences and through what is around me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, for those that listen, I have an acquaintance, I have a friend, Valerie. She has a YouTube channel. She even talks about it. She went from being a researcher to being a toy developer. Mm-hmm. And she talks about society pressure, societal pressures. You should all like watch her video, because I think people need that. Is we are told that at the age of 25 to 30, we should have our life set and done. We should have it ready, and that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. It's like these, and it goes back to what we said at the beginning. It's that mold that we have to fill in. You know, our parents are like, this is what we want you to do. Oh, okay. For me personally, my mom was like, okay, by the time you graduate high school, you're going to go to university. And then by the time you're done university, you're going to go get a master's, and then you're going to achieve your doctorate. Okay. And then by that time, you're going to go, you know, work a job, and then you're going to get married, and then you're going to have kids. But it's like these things, like, it doesn't make sense to me at that time, you know, like, because I didn't want that. I didn't want to do that. So why did I have to do it? You know, mm-hmm. like societal pressures, especially one as small as the one I grew in, you know, only being around Asian people, it's really hard to break out of that mold. And when it does, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Because in my community, everybody loved to brag about their kids and what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's without a doubt, it was always like that. And it was so uncomfortable, like breaking out of that mold. And when my mom said, oh, you have to go to university, I was like, I don't want to. Like, I want to go to college.
It almost becomes like a battle, like a constant battle between the parent and the child.
Yeah, it almost seems like who's right and who's wrong. But it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's whatever I'm comfortable with.
Exactly. But and this is where I also understand where this part comes in, is because the parent wants it this way and we want it this way. We say it's not a battle, but it does become a battle, because now to you, you have to make your point. You have to prove it. Mm-hmm. And when what you want to do becomes a have to prove moment, you're not enjoying it anymore. You're not enjoying the process of what you've done and picked. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very like you lose being in the moment because you're so focused on tomorrow. You're so focused on what the end product of proving it.
Yep. You know, like with my sister going to university, my mom's not subtle about like, oh, see, your sister's going to university. Oh, she's going to get a better job than you. Mm-hmm. She's going to be more successful than you. She's going to live a better life than you. But it's just like, but it's not true. Like, this world doesn't work. This world doesn't revolve around going to university anymore. You know, like, it doesn't revolve around that mold that you had for your children anymore.
Yeah. And you know, like, and I say this is because I think my mold was broken so long ago. My mold was broken so long ago because I went against the grains all the time. And then even when we had a relationship, I started to mold because I started to see a lot more in the world that I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm saying is like, money isn't happiness, because I've seen what money does. Mm-hmm. I've seen what money does to a man that has money. Yep. And I'm just saying, he ain't happy.
Nope.
But like, people don't understand that. And you got to see it for yourself in life. You got to experience certain things in your own life to get you to that point of understanding, of molding yourself to be more understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets to a point where you get sick and tired of fighting with your parents all the time. That, you know, like now my parents and I, but now my parents and I, we've both come to an understanding that I'm an adult, you're an adult, and if I need your help, I'll come to you. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm going to do my life my way, and I'm going to make sure that it works my way. And that no matter what, you guys are going to be supportive of me. And they are. They're supportive of everything that I do. And yeah, it's a lot of pressure. But at least that pressure isn't the pressure of me fighting against the grain anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say thank you to everyone that's listening. Today's topic was something that, you know, society has made it so impossible for us to feel comfortable with our decisions, being in our own skin, being
who we are.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels weird to, like, sometimes being at home is like you're walking on eggshells. Like, we shouldn't be feeling like that, but because we're so tense outside where, you know, we go and we work, we subconsciously bring that home too. And society has made it so that we can't be comfortable, even if, you know, they don't say it directly like that, but it's already implied even in where we work.
What social media is and what society is just a cover for the glamorous life. Behind all that is just normal people that suffer like you and me. And it's okay to be where you are in life. But it's not okay to be where you are, admit where you are, and not do anything. So if you're in that position where you're looking at your life and you say, I don't belong here, but you're not doing anything, pick yourself up. Look at yourself. Talk to yourself. Admit that something is wrong and fight for something better. And for those that are going to school, you should never be ashamed of going to school. You picked what you wanted to do. You're doing what you wanted to do in your life. And that's okay. What you're doing in your life, it's going to do greatness for our communities. It's going to do greatness for the world. You're going to be a part of why our world is better today. Remember, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Follow us on our Facebook group. We'll link it down below. We called it the Statues Podcast Community. Follow us on Instagram at the Statues Podcast. Let us know you're alive. Thank you so much for listening. This is your host and co-host signing off.